So we're starting here on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Daled Amud Bet by the two dad Safek Androgynous. Tanur Banan. Pasuk says Orlato, and the Gemara assumes that Orlato is a miyut. Orlato vaday docha et Shabbat. If he has a vaday orla, then it's docha et Shabbat. Velo safek docha et Shabbat. Not in a case where it is a safek. Orlato vaday docha et Shabbat. Velo androgynous, and not the androgynous. So in the pasuk that we're learning out about dchiyat Shabbat, which is uviyom hashmini mo b'sar alato, in that same pasuk you have uviyom hashmini, which teaches us bayom afilu b'Shabbat, and then you have orlato to limit who's included in that dispensation to be docha et Shabbat. So that's what the Gemara says here, that it excludes a safek and it excludes an androgynous. Yehuda Omer, androgynous docha et Shabbat, banush karet. Yehuda says that androgynous is docha et Shabbat, that means that you do a milah on the androgynous, and if he doesn't get a brit milah, anush karet. Arvalato vaday docha et Shabbat, velo nolad ben hashemashot docha et Shabbat. Arvalato vaday docha et Shabbat, velo nolad kushu maho docha et Shabbat. So we have a different limud, a limud that the arvalato vaday docha et Shabbat, not someone who's born ben hashemashot. Benish Mashot is a safek, safek yom, safek laila. So therefore we're uncertain as to whether the baby was actually born on Shabbat or not. So that's the same safek that we talked about before. And then the additional safek here, which is if he's born with a milah already, with the orla already removed or pulled back, that's not dochat Shabbat. Shebet Shammai Omrim. When it comes to a child that is born mahul, Shammai says, Sarich latif mimenu dam brit. You still have to draw blood. You still have to have some blood in order to complete the brit milah. Beit Hillel Omrim, eino tzarich. Hillel says, he doesn't have to draw dam brit. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, everybody agrees that when a baby is born mahul, that you still have to draw blood, you have to have dam brit. Because even though he is mahul, the orla is just covered up. It's still there, it's just not apparent. Where did they argue? Al ger shenit gayer kishu mahol. When a person converts and he had a proper milah, now we know it's not an orla kavusha. So in that case, Beit Shammai omrim tzarich latif imenu dambrit. We have to draw blood for him. As Beit Hillel omrim ain't tzarich latif imenu dambrit. You do not have to draw blood. You do not have to have a cut in order to complete the brit milah. What's interesting here is that the Gemara clearly creates a hierarchy, which is that for certain a child that is mahul gets dam brit, hatafat dam brit. Again, we have a question about. And since we have a machloket Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, we'd assume that the locha should be like Beit Hillel, that you don't need a tafat dam brit. What's interesting is that Tosafot brings that the alochat gedolot brings the psak alocha, katan ein tzarich, v'ger tzarich. A katan does not require dam brit, whereas a ger requires dam brit. It's v'katan vaday kedin pasku kishmuatenu. Says that our shmua, we're going to see, sounds like he paskins that a katan doesn't need hatafa dam brit. Ubeger namin yered the riish is samchu ahidi yavamot. That the reason that a ger requires is not because of our gemara, because from our gemara you would assume no, that you don't need it. Rather, it comes out of the gemara in yavamot. The Rashba wants to explain how, out of the logic of our Gemara, you could still come to that conclusion. Both of them, the assumption would be, need hatafat dam brit. Ilav de darshin anocha, the katan ain't tzarich latif imenu dam brit. If it weren't for the fact that we darshin that a katan is excluded from the word orlato, shum tichtiv alato, but dafka b'katan de gali, gali. Since by a katan we have a pasuk that tells us no, they're not. Beger de lo gali, lo gali. For by a ger, where there was no gilui, we do dam brit. The assumption is that you have to do a tafat dam brit unless you have an exclusion. Our gemara only brings an exclusion for katan, never brings an exclusion for ger. Then he brings that the Rabbeinu Chananel pasak ibcha, halachat gedolot. The Rabbeinu Chananel paskins like what would seem to be the conclusion of our Gemara, which is that a katan requires a tafat dam brit, and a ger does not require a tafat dam brit. Anyway, we paskin that both need a tafat dam brit. We have letzad ze, letzad ze. Even if it was mitzad safek, we do a tafat dam brit, but we do a tafat dam brit both for a katan that's born mahu as well as for a ger shenitzkayir. And the Gemara wants to go back and investigate what we just quoted. It says, "V'lo safek tochat Shabbat." What does it mean that a safek is not tochat Shabbat? What safek are you speaking about? Betuei mai, betuei ha, the Tanur Banan. To include this case, Ben Shiv'a, mechalalin alav et ha-Shabbat. Child that is born in the seventh month, you are mechalal Shabbat for. Uben Chet, ein mechalalim alav et ha-Shabbat. Child is born in the eighth month, you are not mechalal et Shabbat for him, because the assumption of the Gemara is, and we'll see this in 1 second, that Ben Shimona Aru ke'evin. Child born in the eighth month will not survive, and is the equivalent of a stone. Safek ben Zayin, Safek ben Chet. What if we're not sure whether he's born in the seventh month or the eighth month? Ein mechalalin alav et ha-Shabbat. We're not mechalal Shabbat because we're uncertain as to whether the child is a viable entity or not. So because that's a fake, we're not going to be mechalel et ha-Shabbat. Gemara says, why is that? Because ben shmona harei hu ke'evin, an eight-month-old baby is like a stone, vasur l'taltalo. You're not allowed to carry him, muksa. Aval imo shocha umenikato, hipnei asakana. His mother is allowed to lean over him and nurse him because of danger. The danger is not to the baby. Nei sakana is for the mother, as Rashi points out. Mnei she'chalav harbei bidadel umivia lidei choli. She needs to express, she needs to relieve the pressure because of the milk that's come in from the birth of the baby. And so we allow her to nurse with this baby. Again, not for the baby's sake, for the mother's sake, because the mother would fall ill if we don't allow her to nurse on Shabbat. So she can't pick up the baby, so she leans over the baby and nurses the baby in such a manner. Tosafot says that that's a mlacha she'en tzricha legufa. She's not nursing the baby, or she's not relieving the milk because she wants the milk itself, which would be the normal mlacha of dash, which milking is under that category of dash. That would be the normal process where you want the milk. That's the way the melacha is here, is you don't want the milk. You want the milk out. You don't want the milk itself. It's a melacha shein tzricha legufa, and b'makom tzar, the rabbanan were not meimid divreihem. We've seen that before, that when there's a makom tzar, we're matir certain isurei de rabbanan, and that's what the Tosavot says over here, that the woman has a melacha shein tzricha legufa where she's bitzar. So we allow her to relieve herself by nursing this baby. Now, the Gemara will later on come back and discuss this at the end of today's daf, which is that, mimon of shach, why don't we just give a brit to the baby? If he's a ben shiva, then he needs to have a brit milah, because he's a viable entity, he's a viable baby. If he's a ben shimona, hari hu ke'evin, he's a stone. If he's a stone and you're cutting the milah of a stone, then you're not cutting basar, you're not making a chabura. You really believe that it's an evin and not a live entity, an inanimate object in that sense, and doing the Brit Milah is not a violation of Shabbat. So Mimon of Shach, you should be able to do the Brit Milah, which the Gemara will ask later. But at this point, the Gemara assumes that Ben Shmona, you cannot do a Milah on Shabbat. But at the end, the Gemara assumes that Ben Shiva, you can, Ben Shmona, you cannot, and therefore, b'safek, you're not going to be Mechalel at the Shabbat. Just on that issue of the eighth month, Rav Shas, the Gemara thinks that Ben Shmona is Hariu Ke'evin. Tosafot over here says, what about us? Nira the Reed, Dakshab Mutar, the Tatel, Kotino, Kochi, and Anubikim. So Tosafot solves the problem today. This is already in the time of Tosafot's time. Well, we have babies that are born all over, they don't know. He says, we're not Bikim to know what's 7, 8, or 9. We don't know where the gestation is. So therefore, Ukulam, Kumo, Safek, Ben Chet, Safek, Ben Tet. Everybody's a safek ben chet ben tet because we just don't know the exact times. Mutar lemulo b'shabbat miman of shach, which I said to you, the Gemara is going to say on the top of Kuf Lamed Vav Med Aleph. Avilu ben shmona vaday. Even if he's a ben shmona vaday, you can do the brit on Shabbat. So even today, if we know for certain it's a ben shmona vaday, there's no downside to doing the milah on Shabbat because it's Hariu Kevin. That we'll get to in the Gemara Kuf Lamed Vav Med Aleph. But as far as anything is concerned, we don't worry about it. Afilu achi nira the reed mutar letaltalon mulo b'shabbat me'in riuta b'saro b'tz. Because the Gemara has another scenario. It's not from the Gemara over here. It's Gemara in Yevamot. Machlok between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda as to a baby that's born. Could it be that it was a seventh month baby, but just stayed in utero a little longer? Or is it really an eighth month baby? The Gemara sees that there are certain developmental stages, which is that they reach an end in the seventh month. Then if it stays in the eighth month, then it's in this interim stage, which why it makes it not viable. In the ninth month, it reaches kalulo chadashav. It finishes off the gestation, and therefore it's a full-term baby, that's fine. But if it's born during that interim period, the baby doesn't have all of its features finished, and therefore, Gemara considers it as not to be a viable entity. But the discussion in the Gemara in Vavot is, if a baby comes out, it looks like it has its hair, its nails, looks like a normal baby, it looks like as if it's finished. Even though it came out in the eighth month, what am I going to say about that? So over there, the Gemara discusses the possibility that it really came to term in the seventh month, and it just hung out in utero for an extra week or two. So it came out in the eighth month, not because it's an eighth-month baby, but because it's really a seventh-month baby. The Gemara feels that either a baby can be 7 months or 9 months of gestation, and in either case, that's their full term. So the question is, if you have a 9-month baby and it comes out in the eighth month, that's where you have a problem. If you have a 7-month baby and it comes out in the eighth month, then you're fine. So that's why today, the Rish says, even today, if we know for sure that it's an 8-month baby, maybe still it's really a 7th-month baby that stayed in a little longer, not a real 8-month baby. So that's why today, we don't consider them to be muksa, and that's why we give them a Brit Milah on Shabbat, because in Anubikiyim, and even if we do know, we're not certain as to whether this is really an 8th-month baby. All right, so now, Itmar, Rav Amar Locha Ketanakama. Rav says the Locha is like the Tanakama. Shumar Locha Kerub Shimon Ben Elazar. The Locha is like Rav Shimon Ben Elazar. That was before in the Machloket between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon Ben Elazar as to what the Machloket, the Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is. Tanakama said, Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing about a Katan Mahul, about a Katan that's born already with a, already circumcised. That's where the Machloket is. And Rav Shimon Ben Elazar says, no, the by a katan mahu, everybody agrees you need hatafat tamrit. The machloket is about a ger shinitgayer kishu mahu. Vada barava yidle hayyunoka. Vada barava had a child, was born kishu mahu, already was circumcised. Ahadra adlesar molai. He took him around to 13 individuals who were molim, and they refused to do anything for him. It was on Shabbat, and he wanted to have a brit milah done for him, meaning that he wanted a tafa dam brit done on the baby, and nobody was willing to do it. So finally, Rav Adar Bava took the situation into his own hands, and he gave his son a brit milah, at the Shavya Krut Shavcha. By doing so, he made him impotent. He cut too far, caused the problem within the Aver. Amar Teiti Li, it was coming to me, to Avri Ad Rav, because I violated the din of Rav. Rav had said that the Alocha is like the Tanakama, that the Machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is about a Tafa Dam Brit for a Katan. And that means that Beit Hillel, Paskins, you don't need Tafa Dam Brit for a Katan. Based on Rav, if you pass an Alocha like Rav, then you wouldn't have needed Hatafa Dambrit. So he says, I violated Rav's position. Therefore, this is what happened to me. Samalei Rav Nachman vada Shmuel lo avar. Wait a minute. You didn't violate the din of Shmuel? You think you were mimikayim, whatever other Rav was doing was mimikayim the din of Shmuel. He says, I hold like Shmuel, who says that everybody agrees that you do Hatafa Dambrit for a katan that's born mahol. Rav Nachman says to him, you think you're following the way of Shmuel? Ima dharma Shmuel b'chol. Shmuel says that you do Hatafa Dambrit for a katan mahol. That's only on a weekday, b'Shabbat, mi amar? Who says on Shabbat that you do it? Who savar vadai or la kvushahi? Vada Barava obviously believes that a katan mahul definitely has an orla that was pushed back or that is covered up, that it hasn't been taken off entirely. What Rav Nachman is suggesting is that Shmuel's din is a din misafek. We don't know what the status of a child born mahul is. Possibility that their mahul and their orla is gone. Possibility that their orla is just pushed back. So since you have that uncertainty, we say to you, go do the Hatafat Dambrit. Go take care of this milah. Do perform a milah on this child. But that's a misafek. If it's misafek, you'd only do that on a weekday, not on Shabbat. Rav Adar Bava says now Shmuel's din derives from the fact that they believe definitely the orla is still there. It's just pushed back. If that's the case, then you definitely have to do a Hatafat Dambrit. You definitely have to do some sort of quote-unquote surgery on this child. If that's the case, then you would do it even on Shabbat, because we know for certain that you must do something over here. So that's a machloket amuraim as to the view of Shmuel's din, as to the view of Hatafa Dambrit. Rav Nachman says it's a din misafek. Rav Adar Bava is suggesting that it's a din vadai. Ditmar, because we have a memra amongst the amuraim, Rabba Amar Chashinan Shema Allah Kvushahi. Rabba says that it's a din misafek, child that is born mahul. Yosef Amar Vadai Allah Kvushahi. And Rav Yosef says that it is definitely an Orla Kvusha. So therefore, Rav Nachman is similar to Rabba's position, which is that it's misafek, and Rav Adar Bava is similar to Rav Yosef's position that it is a vadai or la kvusha. I'm Rav Yosef, how can I prove to you that a child born mahul is vadai or la kvusha? Datanya. Rav Eliezer Kapar Omer, lo nechloku beit shamay beit hillel nalachu mahul shetarich lehatif imenu dambrit. There is no machloket between beit hillel and beit shamay than a child that is born mahul that you have to do a tafa dam brit. That is similar to what Rav Shimon Elazar said. Alma nechluku, what do they argue about? Lechalel alav et Shabbat. Whether you're mechalel Shabbat for him. Beit Shammai omrim mechalin alav et Shabbat. You are mechalel Shabbat. Beit Hillel omrim, ain mechalin alav et Shabbat. Beit Hillel says, you're not mechalel Shabbat. So if I was to subscribe to this position of Rav Elazar Kapar, I would say that a child born mahol requires a tafa dam brit, but you're not Michalel Shabbat for it because Beit Hillel says, not Michalel Shabbat. Beit Hillel versus Beit Shammai, we're going to paskin like Beit Hillel. That's not a proof to Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef says it's a Vadai or La Kvusha, which would mean that it was even Michalel Shabbat. So Rav Yosef says here, Lav Michalel de Tanakama Savar Michalin Lav et Shabbat. Rabbi Elazar ben Akapar here is arguing on somebody. He's the second opinion. So there's a first opinion, and he comes to say, no, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, everybody agrees that you need a Tafa Dambrit. They only disagree about whether you mechalel Shabbat. So what Rabbi Yosef suggests is that the Tana Kama says, yes, a Tafa Dambrit, and yes, mechalel Shabbat. Everybody agrees that you do a Tafa Dambrit, and everybody agrees you mechalel to Shabbat. Along comes Rabbi Elazar HaKapar and says, no, I agree with you, la Tafa Dambrit, yes, but mechalel to Shabbat? No, because Beit Hillel says no to mechalel to Shabbat. So Rabbi Yosef says, I subscribe to the Tana Kama. Tana Kama says you do it vaday and you mechalel at the Shabbat. Where it says v'dilma Tana Kama divrei akol ein mechalelin kamar. How do you know what the Tana Kama said? You assume that the Tana says that everybody agrees that you mechalel at the Shabbat. Maybe the Tana Kama says everybody agrees that you're not mechalel at the Shabbat. And that's what Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is arguing on. He's saying no. Beit Shammai says mechalel at the Shabbat. Beit Hillel says no. Where it says that doesn't make sense because im kein Rabbi Elazar HaKapar time with the Beit Shammai atalashminon. Why would Rabbi Elazar HaKapar come and argue on the Tana Kama only to tell us the opinion of Beit Shammai? Beit Shammai v'makom Beit Hillel zeinu mishna. There's no reason to tell us about the opinion of Beit Shammai that you're mechalel et haShabbat, because that doesn't change the halacha, doesn't change the din at all. If already the Tana Kama says ein mechalin et haShabbat, and Rabbi Elazar HaKapar agrees Beit Hillel says that, then the halacha is that ein mechalin et haShabbat. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar to argue just for that point doesn't make a lot of sense. Although the Gemara in other places will tell us that it does make sense, because then we know whenever we see the opinion throughout Shas that if we have the opinion of the Chalun at the Shabbat, that we'd ascribe it to Beit Shammai. But the Gemara does not answer that. Here it says that it wouldn't be worthwhile. Ela Dilma Achi Kamar Lo Nechluku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel B'davar Zeh. Maybe that's what Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is coming to say, which is Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai never argued on this issue. The Tana Kama is suggesting that they're arguing about Chol. Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai are arguing about whether you need Hatava Dambrit on Chol. And along comes Rabbi Elazar HaKapar and says, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel never argued on this issue of Hatava Dambrit. That's not where their machloket is. Their machloket is in Shabbat, not in Chol. Maybe the Tana Kama was saying that there's a machloket in Chol where Beit Shammai says you have to do a Tafat Dambrit, and Beit Hillel says no a Tafat Dambrit. Along comes Rabbi Elazar HaKapar and says, no, they never argued on this issue. Rather, they argued on the issue of whether Mechalina to Shabbat or not Mechalina to Shabbat. But that still makes the Tana Kama not have a position that Vadai Mechalina Lava to Shabbat. If that's the case, then there's no proof to Rabbi Yosef from this Breito. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yassi. Rabbi Yassi makes a statement here, which the Gemara is now going to spend a lot of time investigating. Amar Rabbi Yassi, ko she'imo tmeya leida. Anybody who, when they give birth, has tumat leida, nimol l'shmona. The baby gets a bit milah on the eighth day. Choshenu imo tmeya leida, ein nimol l'shmona. But if the mother is not tmeya leida, and the baby is not given a milah on the eighth day. Shenamar. Why is that? Because where is the milah written? The milah is written at the beginning of Parsha Tazria. Parsha Tazria, it says, Isha ki Tazria v'yalda zechari u'tmeya. And then it continues, v'yom ha'shmini, yimol b'sar lato. So the child, the male child that's born to a woman who will be tmeya, then the pasuk afterwards says that that baby requires a milah on the eighth day. So that juxtaposition within the psukim he sees as a correlation. The woman becoming tmeah is the prerequisite for uvayom hashmini imo b'sar lato. So amalei Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Asi, dorot arishonim yochichu. The dorot rishonim means the avot. Those that were before Mamad Har Sinai. By the time of Avram Avinu, when Yitzchak is born, Sarah is not Tameya Tumat Leida, because there is no Tumat Leida in that time. Yet, Yitzchak got a Milah on the eighth day. So you see that there is no correlation between Tumat Leida and giving a Brit on the eighth day. She'enimo Tameya Leida v'nimo l'shmona. So in the time of the Avot, you have a break between these two issues. So it seems that they're not correlated. Amar lei nitna Torah v'nitchadsho halacha. You mean that's not a question? The halacha here is established in Mamad Har Sinai. We have two times in the Torah that Brit Milah is mentioned. Once Brit Milah is mentioned by the Parsha of Abraham, the end of Parshat Lech Lecha, where Abraham and all the dinim of Milah are mentioned. The second Parsha of Milah is mentioned in Parshat Tazria. So you're right. Once the Torah was given, which is in Parshat Tazria, there we established this correlation between Tumat Leida and Brit Milah. But prior to that time, there was no correlation because the mitzvah Milah that was given in Parshat Lech Lecha doesn't have any connection to Tumat Leida. So that's not a question for me, because I say that's before, this is after. Ini, is it really true? Vaitmar, yotzei dofen, someone who is a yotzei dofen, someone who is a C-section. Umi sheesh lo shte orlot, someone who has two orlot. Rashi gives two interpretations of what shte orlot here means. Shte orlot, Rashi says, is shnei orot zel zeh, is a double layer of uncircumcised skin. That's one possibility. But the other possibility is that he has shnei gidim. He has two members. Rav Huna, Rav Chiya bar Rav, chad amar mechalivin lovet haShabbat. One says you are mechalal Shabbat. Bar amar ein mechalalin et haShabbat. The other one says you're not mechalal et haShabbat. Anka non pligi ela lechalal lovet haShabbat. There are only machloket. There is about whether you're mechalal Shabbat. Aval ishmona vaday mehalinan lei. Everybody agrees that on the eighth day, you do a milah. And it says, wait a minute, that's haba talia. The two are correlated. You're only mechalal Shabbat if you think the child needs a brit milah on the eighth day. That's why we're mechalal Shabbat, because of v'yom ha-shmini. If you think the demand is to have the brit milah definitively on the eighth day, then that's when you're mechalal Shabbat. If you don't know whether it's on the eighth day, in that instance, you're not mechalal et ha-shabbat, because that's not under the dispensation of v'yom ha-shmini mal besar lo-to. So Gemara says that's not a proof as to whether eighth day or not, because the actual machloket is correlated. You can't say, oh, here, everybody agrees it's the eighth day. If everybody agreed it was the eighth day, then everybody would agree it was mechalal Shabbat. So that's not true. The two are correlated, and therefore, if they're arguing about chilul Shabbat, they're also arguing about whether you need a brit milah on the eighth day. Ketanai, Gemara says this is a machloket tanaim, meaning the statement of Rav Asi is a machloket tanaim. Yesh yelid bayit shinimol le'achad, yesh yelid bayit shinimol le'shmona. You have a child that is born in the house that gets a brit milah on the first day. A child that is born in the house that gets a milah on the eighth day. Yesh miknat kesef. You purchase a baby, shinimol echad, sometimes that gets a brit milah on the first day. Yesh miknat kesef, shinimol lishmona. And you sometimes have a baby that is purchased that will have a brit milah on the eighth day. Now this derives from two psukim that are written in Breshit when the dinah of milah is given. It says there, Yimol Yimol, Yilid Beitcha, Umiknat Kaspecha, and then it doesn't say there whether that's on the eighth day, it doesn't say anything else. So there it just says, you get a milah, if you're a Yilid Bayit, or Miknat Kesef. The other pasuk says, Uven Shmonat Yamim, Yimolachem Kol Zachar Ledoritechem, Yilid Bayit, Umiknat Kesef. On the eighth day, you'll get a milah for anybody who is born in the household, or that is purchased. We have a stir on the psukim. One pasuk says you get a brit milah irrespective of 8 days. Another one that says you only get a brit milah on the 8th day. The Gemara says, well, that tells us that there are two manifestations of yilid bayit and two manifestations of miknat kesef. Yilid bayit and miknat kesef are referring to avadim. They're referring to eved knani or shivcha knanit. So in this case, you have two manifestations. One manifestation where you purchase it and there's a milah on the first day, and another case where you purchase and you end up with a milah on the 8th day. Case where they are in your household, and you'll give a milah on the first day, and a case where they're in your household, and you'll give a milah on the 8th day. Rashi says, how do we know which is which? Said, the one that is more domeh, the more similar you look to a regular Jew, the more likely you are to get a brit milah on the 8th day. So you're going to see here the examples. We started at Breita just now, and we're going to see the Breita is going to lay out those scenarios, and in laying out those scenarios, they're looking for the one that is more similar to Israel that gets 8 days. The one that is less similar will be 1 day. Yesh mitna kesef shimol echad, v'yesh mitna kesef shimol l'shmona. So here we have a purchased eved or shivcha, where you're going to end up with the child having a milah on day one, and having a child having a milah on 8th day. Ketzad, what's the case? Lakach shivcha mi'uberet. He buys a shivcha knanit while she is pregnant. V'achakach yalda. And then she gives birth. Zeu miknat kesef animo lishmona. That is a case where you'll get a brit milah on the 8th day, because the child that is born already is born, even though it was not conceived during your ownership, still is born once it reaches your household. And therefore, that'll be 8 days. Kach shivcha vivlada ima. If he purchases a shivcha kananit and the baby is already born, she has a baby with her. Zoi miknakesef shinimol echad. That purchased shivcha and the child will get a milah immediately. Milah will be upon purchase. You will give it a milah on the first day. As soon as he comes into your house, whether the child is 1 day old or the child is more than 8 days old, whatever the age of the child, you give them a milah immediately. Because that's less like Israel. That child was both conceived and born outside the framework of a Jewish household. In the first case, the child was conceived outside, but it was born within the framework of a Jewish household. So therefore, that case we'll say is at the eighth day. This case is on the first day. And there's a child who's born in your household that gets a meal on the eighth day. He purchased a Shivcha Kananit, and she came impregnated while she was in his household. And then she gives birth. That's a child that will get a brit milah on the eighth day, because here the child is both conceived and born in a Jewish household. What's clear here from the Tanakhama is he's missing one case. He's missing the case of yilid bayit, that's liyom echad. He doesn't address that. Yeah, there are four cases, and he only addresses three of them. Rav Chama comes along and gives you an example of the four cases. Rav Chama Omer, Yalda, Ve'achar Kach Hitbila. She gave birth, he owned her, but she gave birth, and then only afterwards did she go to the mikveh. Zeu Yalid Bayit Shnimol Echad. That's a child that gets a milah on day one. Hitbila, if she already went to the mikveh, Ve'achar Kach Yalda, then only after that she gave birth, Zeu Yalid Bayit Shnimol Shmona. That's a Yalid Bayit that is given on the eighth day. Rav Chama says, or Rav Chama explains, that yilid bayit, how do you differentiate between day 1 and day 8 and yilid bayit? It all revolves around tefillah. Tefillah is what makes the woman more like a Jew than less like a Jew. If she goes to tefillah, it's a quasi-geirut, and the Shivcha Kananit now becomes chayevet in mitzvot like a Jewish woman, like an isha. So therefore, tefillah is the threshold of which she says you look much more like a Jewish woman. So if it's after tefillah, you own the woman, and she goes to the mikveh, that point in time she becomes like a Jewish woman, and she gives birth to a baby, that baby is given a brit milah on the eighth day. But if she gives birth to the baby before she goes to the mikveh, then that baby is less like a Jew, and that baby will get a milah on day 1, not on day 8. Again, the Tanakhama never addressed that issue, or never addressed the case of day 1. He only addressed the case of day 8. So now Rav Chama does that. Now the Tanakhama loshani le ben hitbila v'achakach yalda ben yalda v'achakach hitbila. Tanakhama doesn't make such a distinction between whether he gives birth before the mikvah, after the mikvah. Da'afakav de'eni mot meya le'dan imol d'shmona. So what do you see from this? Rav Chama says, when do you get the 8 day milah? Only after she goes to the mikvah. After she goes to the mikvah, she becomes chayevet in mitzvot like an isha. If that's the case, then when the Shivcha Kananit gives birth, she is tamei tumat leida. She's now like a regular Jewish woman. If that is the case, then this Shivcha Kananit has a correlation between her becoming tamei tumat leida and her baby or child having a milah on the eighth day. Because tefillah is that threshold. Before tefillah, she doesn't become tamei tumat leida, and therefore her child gets a milah on the first day, according to Rabbi Chama. In the case where she's after tefillah, post tefillah, she's like a Jewish woman, she does become tamei tumat leida, and she gets a milah on the eighth day. So Rabbi Chama says there's a correlation between Tumat Leida and the Brit on the eighth day. On the other hand, the Tanakhama does not make such a distinction. He does not differentiate between whether before or after Tefillah the baby's born. The baby's born in your household. Whether it's before or after Tefillah, it gets an 8-day Brit. So that means that he doesn't care about this correlation between Tumat Leida and Shmona. That's what the Gemara said before. It's a machloket Tanaim as to the statement of Rav Asi. Rav Asi made a statement, and now we have machloket amongst the Tanaim as to whether there is this correlation. Rabbi Chama, it seems it should be Rabbi Chama, not Rav Chama, because bringing a Braita, and you're thinking it's a machloket Tanaim, which should be in Eretz Yisrael. It's in Eretz Yisrael, it should have the title of Rabbi. So it sounds like it should be Rabbi Chama. Rabbi Chama is of the position that there is this correlation, similar to Rav Asi, whereas the Tanakhama says there is no correlation between Tumat Leida and 8-day Milah, and he would be the one that is disagreeing. Obviously, Rav Asi could say, I subscribe to the position of Rabbi Chama. Now the Gemara wants to understand this better. Bishlam other Rabbi Chama, Mishkachat Lali Yilid Bayit Nimo Lechad Yilid Bayal Nimo Lechet. According to Rabbi Chama, we have cases of every situation. We have a case of Yilid Bayit that gets a Brit Milah on the day 1. We have a Yilid Bayit that gets a Brit Milah on the 8th day. Mitna Kesev Nimol Echad, Mitna Kesev Nimol Echad. We have a case where Mitna Kesev gets it on the 1st day, Mitna Kesev gets it on the 8th day. Yalda, if she gave birth, V'chakach Hitbila, and afterwards she goes to the mikveh, Zeh Yilid Bayit Shnimol Echad. Hitbila, she goes to the mikveh, and Achakach Yalda, and then gives birth, Zeh Yilid Bayit Shnimol Echad. That's a case where it's on the 8th day. Mitna Kesev Nimol Echad. What's a case where he purchases it and it's on the 8th day? You go on, Shlokach Shivcha Me'uberet, V'hitbila. He purchased a Shivcha Me'uberet. He puts her in the mikvah, and then achar kach yalda. After which she gives birth, that'll be a mikna kesef, that baby that has on the 8th day. Mikna kesef nimol echad is a case shekon lachach zeh shivcha v'zeh ubra. It's a case where one person purchases the mother, and the other one purchased the baby. So in that case, it's nimol de'echad, because there's no correlation between the mother and the baby anymore. You've separated the mother and the baby because you don't own the mother. So therefore, the baby will get a milah on day one. There's some question as to the girsa that we just read over here. So achak zeh shivcha zeh ubra. There's some discussion as to whether that is the proper girsa, because in the shilto it has a girsa. What's the case of miknat kesef? That is nimol de'echad. It's a case where he purchased the shivcha and the vlad was already born, just like we saw in the reisha. We saw in the Brayta and the Reisha. So the Shiltot says in the position of Rabbi Chamo that he doesn't have this Shalach Zeh Shivcha Vezeh Ubra. Why do you involve two owners here? Even a single owner, if he purchased the Shivcha and her baby's already born, then that also gets a milah on day one. So in the ratio, that's what the Tanakhama said. So the Seifa, you could have said the same thing, and that's what the Shiltot says is the case here, because what's the reason to make it complicated? There's no reason to have two owners here. Even with a single owner, you can create such a case. Although Rashi, later on here at the bottom, says, V'adashani miknat kesef nimol echad Rabbi Chama with the Tanakhama. How come by Rabbi Chama they give a different case for nimol echad by miknat kesef than the Tanakhama? V'lomar, why don't you just say, like the case we said earlier, go on shalakach vlada ima, like the Shiltot says, why don't you just make it the same as the Tanakama's case? Mishom d'imkein yalda kodim tvilahi. Because in that case, the baby was born before tvilah. My iria nolad kodim shalakha, afilo nolad mishalakha, nami Rabbi Chama nimole echad. Because Rabbi Chama already told us that if you're born before tvilah, then you automatically get day one. So it has nothing to do with the fact that it was born before he purchased her. Even if it's born after he purchased her, but before it's milah, you get a day one milah. So the threshold for Rabbi Chama is not purchase, but the threshold is milah or not, whether she went to the mikveh or not. So based on that, the Gemara, or the Braita, gives a separate case for Rabbi Chama, because Rabbi Chama has to come up a situation where the kinyan, or the buying of the ubar, has impact rather than the tvila. Because here, when you separate the mother from the baby, then tefillah is no longer an issue, because tefillah is only for the mother. The baby doesn't have that issue of tefillah. So Tosfot says that he doesn't think Rashi's right over here. And he agrees with the girsa near the reed. The Garis, he says that he thinks that should be the Girsa over here. That the Girsa should be like the Shiltot, and not like what we have in our Gemaras. And not like Rashi, who defended the Girsa of our Gemara, that the Girsa should really be changed. So now Gemara says, okay, I understand Rabbi Chama. Rabbi Chama gave us four cases, and therefore we understand what the four situations are. We have the two by Miknat Kesef, then two by Yelid Bayit. But the Tanakhama only gave us three cases. He gave us two cases by Miknat Kesef, but only gave us one case by Yelid Bayit. So what is he missing? He's missing the case by Yelid Bayit, where it's Le'echad, that you get Mila Le'echad. And that's what the Gemara says. Ela Tanakhama Bishlam Akulo Mishkachad Lehu. Tanakhama explicitly told us all the cases. Ela Yelid Bayit Nimo Le'echad Eche Mishkachala. Where's his case of Yidlid Bayit that gets a Brit Milah on day one? Samari Yibri Yabalokeach Shivcha Le'ubra. It's a case where he purchases the Shivcha for the child. He doesn't have ownership in the Shivcha. He just purchases the Shivcha so that she will produce babies for him. He buys the right to her babies. So she's not pregnant now, but he says to the Shivcha, I want you to come, and whether he gives him to his Eved Ivri, and they have children, and so the children belong to the owner, and that's what he purchased. He didn't purchase the woman herself, he purchased her offspring, her production. But it's different than Miknat Kesef, not a case where he purchased her and she was pregnant. He purchased her, she wasn't pregnant, but he purchased her for the ability to have the children that are born be his. So Nicha, the Mandamar, Kinyan Perot, Lavki, Kinyan Aguftami, that works well according to one who says, when you buy the output and not the actual producer, that is separate. That's not the same. There's different kinyanim. There's a kinyan on the object, and there's a kinyan on the produce. And you can separate the two. One who says, if you own output, it's as if you have ownership in the primary item. Ma'ika the Maymar, then you're back to square one now, because it's equivalent of having ownership in the shivcha. And if you have ownership in the shivcha, then you're back to Yidlid Bayit, that's born to a shivcha that you have ownership in, and that should be an 8-day baby, not a day one baby. It's a case where you purchase a shivcha with a condition that she will not go to the mikveh, that she will not be nitgayeret. So that's a case where it doesn't look like a Jewish birth, because this Shivcha Knanit will always remain Knanit and will never go through this quasi Geirut, because she was purchased on the condition that she's not going to the mikveh and she's not going to go through this Geirut. So that's a case where you have a Yelid Bayit where it will be on day one. See, for Rabbi Chama, it's easy. Rabbi Chama has a threshold of Tvilah, which could take place or transpire even after the Shivcha is in your household. That means that the Shivcha could become pregnant within your household and give birth in your household, and still not meet that threshold. So because of that, he comes up with a case where you can have a milah on day one and a milah on day eight. On the other hand, the Tanakhama's threshold is whether you're in the household or not. So as soon as you're within the household, how can you differentiate between day one and day eight? You're in the household. There is no differentiation. That's why it's hard to understand where the Tanakhama has this case where it's on day one. Gemara's answer in the end is yes, she's in the household, but she's in such a state within the household that she never really becomes a part of the household. And that's a case where she was purchased, but will never go to the mikveh. And because of that, she remains somewhat as an outsider in the house, and that's why her baby will have a meal on day one instead of day eight. Nevertheless, what we have here is a machloket about the correlation between Tumat Leida and day eight, where it seems to be a correlation between them. The Rabbi Chama sees the need for such a correlation, whereas the Tanakhama doesn't see any correlation between them, and that's what we said before, that this statement of Avasi is really a machloket Tanaim. So now, Tanya, Rishimim Gamliel Omer, Kol Sheshah Lamed Yom Ba'Adam Eino Nefel. Any child that is born and lives for 30 days, then it goes out of the world of Nefel. Then it becomes a viable entity. If a baby lives beyond day 30, then it's a viable entity. Shneamar, Ufduya Miben Chodesh Tifteh. That when it reaches the month old, then you redeem it. Meaning that Pidyon HaBen only takes place after day 30. Well, why does it only take place after day 30? Because then we know that the baby is viable. You only have to redeem the baby if it's a viable baby. So the assumption being that a pidyon HaBen is postponed until that point, that's what we're waiting for. If a baby was viable from day one, then we would do pidyon HaBen right away. The fact that we postpone pidyon HaBen until that point in time tells you that it's only viable from that part forward. Now, Shmonat Yamim Beima, Eino Nefel. Again, the same story with an animal. In an animal, 8 days is the threshold. How do we know that? Because you're not allowed to bring an animal as a kurban for the first 7 days. Only from the 8th day and on are you allowed to bring animals a korban. Why? Because we want to know that it's a viable entity before you put it on the mizbeach. So only from 8th day and on are you allowed to do that. Now there is a difference. That only from the 8th day and on is it allowed to be used as a korban. Now there is a difference between them. For a korban or for an animal, the 8th day is already viable. 7 days not viable, the 8th day is viable. On the other hand, by a child, it's day 31 that is viable. The first 30 days, they're not viable. When they hit day 31, that's when they're viable. Pidyon HaBen is done on day 31. Even the one who argues there in Bechorot, who says that even on day 30, that is Rabbi Akiva, who argues and says it's day 30, only misafek. He's not sure if it's day 30 or day 31. And therefore he says misafek, we say day 30. And it has an afkamina for Avelut. Like by Avelut, everybody agrees, Shloshim is Kalifnei Shloshim. By Avelut, we say that day 30 is clearly like before 30 days, because by Avelut, we always go like the Makil, and the Makil over there, it's interesting, will be not to have Avelut, and therefore only at day 31 would you have Avelut for a child that is born. So basically, there's a little difference. Even though Rabbi Shimon Leo says 30 and 8 days in this Braita, really the 30 and 8 days are different. 30 is like before 30, and 8 is like after 8. Just a distinction in this statement. The other question, and there's a huge Tosafot that discusses this on Kuf Lamed Vav Lamed Aleph, is what is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel speaking about? Is he speaking about any baby that's born? He's only speaking about a baby that's born in the 8th month. Is it in the 8th month? And therefore, he's trying to tell you, even if it's born in the 8th month, how do I know it's viable? Here's the way to test that it's viable. If it lives beyond day 30, then it's a viable entity. And it was really a 7-month baby that stayed in longer. It's not an 8-month baby. Or is he making a general statement about children? All children that are born, their viability is tested by this. There's a chazaka that the baby will be viable if it's born in the 9th month or the 7th month. But nevertheless, the threshold is 30 days. Now the Gemara asks a question. Based on this, we have a serious issue, which is, ha, lo shaha, sveika habi. If you haven't reached that threshold, it's a suffix whether this baby is viable or not. Mimal hecha mehalinan le. How do we ever give a brit milah on the 8th day on Shabbat? How can we be mechalel Shabbat for a baby on the 8th day if we don't know it's going to be a viable entity? We're bisafek until we reach day 30. So Amar Ravad Rava Malin Hotel Miman of Shach. This is what I said to you earlier. Give him a milah, Miman of Shach. Im Chayu, if he's a viable entity, then Shapir Kamael. Then he deserves to get a milah on the 8th day. Vim Lav. And if he's not a viable entity, Michatech Bebasaru. You're cutting equivalent of dead flesh. You're cutting something that is not a problem on Shabbat, because you're not cutting into a live entity. So Miman of Shach, you give him a brit milah. So if you give him a brit milah, then either it's a viable baby and you did the mitzvah, or if it's a non-viable entity, you're not cutting into a live being, and therefore there's no problem of chabura, there's no problem of cutting on Shabbat. Velaha de Tanyo, what about the bright that says, Savek ben Zayin, Savek ben Chet, Ein Michalulim et of a Shabbat? This is how we began in the beginning of the sugya. We said that, what's a safek? A safek is whether it's a 7th month baby or an 8th month baby. So then, why aren't you Michalel et Shabbat for the baby? Amai, Nimhalei, Mimon of Shach. Give him a brit milah miyonafshach. This is what I quoted to you earlier. That miyonafshach, you should give the baby a brit. Im chayhu. If it's really a 7-month baby, shapir kamahayo. Then you're doing the mitzvah, you're doing a proper milah. Vim lav. And if he's really an 8-month baby and he's hariyu be'evin, mechatech bebasaru. You're not cutting a live entity. If you're not cutting a live entity, there's no violation of Shabbat. Miyonafshach, you're safe. If you're violating the Shabbat, that means the baby's viable, and that means that you should be doing the milah. If you're not in violation of Shabbat, the baby didn't need a milah, and there's no problem here, because we're not in violation of Shabbat. So, Amar Mar Breid Ravina, Ana Rav Nechumi Bar Zecharia Targamina, we explained this braita, Mimhal Hachinami Mehalinale, you're right. You do a milah with a baby that's safek zayin, safek het, you give them a milah, mimonoshach. So then, what was that braita speaking about in a case of Shabbat, of safek zayin, safek het, you don't do it? It's for makshire milah, according to Rabbi Lezer, makshire milah are dochim et Shabbat. So when is that true? That's only true when it's a ben zayin, when you're vada have a mitzvah. You're gonna only do the makshire milah. What are you gonna do? You're gonna cook up coals, and you're gonna make a metallic knife on Shabbat. You can only do that if it's really a mitzvah. If it's not a mitzvah, then you're in trouble. You make a knife, and then you cut into basar, you cut into an oven. That's not allowed on Shabbat. So as far as the chachamim are concerned, and even according to Rabbi Elazar, as far as the milah is concerned, the action that you're taking is only a sur if the entity is viable. If the entity is viable, then it's also a milah. So therefore, you cut. If it's a viable entity, you did a milah, and you were violating Shabbat, but that's allowed. If you cut, and the baby's not viable, then you didn't do anything wrong on Shabbat, and you also didn't do a milah, so it's no problem. For Rabbi Elazar, you have a much bigger issue. He says you can make a knife, you can do other things that are in violation of Shabbat. There, you really need to know whether it's a mitzvah or not. And therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar, if you have a safek zayin safek chet, we're not going to let you do makshirei milah and violate Shabbat for makshirei milah. Because if you violate it and we find out the baby's not viable, then you were in violation of Shabbat, not b'maka mitzvah. So for Rabbi Eliezer, it's a problem in terms of makshirei milah. In terms of milah itself, it is docha to Shabbat. And that's what I told you before, the conclusion today, that we give every baby a milah that's on the eighth day. We give them milah on Shabbat, whether it's 7, 8, 9, we don't know. If the baby is viable and is healthy enough to have a milah on that day, we will give them a milah on that day. Usually if it's born in the 7th month, it's premature and it's not healthy enough to have a milah. But we will give it mimon of shach because either it's a viable entity, and the milah is docha Shabbat. If it's not a viable entity, according to Chazal, then it doesn't need a milah, and cutting into basar is not called cutting on Shabbat, and you won't be in violation of Shabbat. Okay, we'll stop over here.